Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of our weekly Army Wife Talk Radio podcast, a program that engages, educates, encourages, and empowers military spouses and families around the world. This is episode number 716, and I'm your host, AWN producer Caroline Schaefer.
And I am AWN social media assistant Joy Ortiz joining Caroline today. Your AWN command team wants to remind you that you don't have to go through this military life journey alone. Army Wife Talk Radio is here to bring you the resources you need, like our resource recon, social media scoop, AWN info objective, empowerment in action, and more. On today's show, we will listen in to an interview conducted by AWN owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch, with today's guest, Delia Introini, the program manager for the Warrior Scholar Project. Delia Introini is a Marine Corps veteran and serves as a WSP program manager for more than 18 campuses and 25 weeks of programming. Sherita's interview with Delia is just around the corner, and trust us, you will certainly want to hear more about Delia's journey and the empowering opportunities that the Warrior Scholar Project has to offer.
So Joy, I am super excited to be hosting with you. Have we ever hosted together?
Actually, this is my first time doing this. With Army Wife Talk Radio, so a newbie.
Yay!
I know, so exciting.
Yeah, so okay, how's your week been? Are you nervous? Because you're doing great.
Well, thank you. Not so much nervous. I a little bit at the beginning of the week, just because we hadn't got the script until recently, so I didn't have time to practice, or read over, but it's super, super fine. But, you know, week for me this week has been, it's been all right. My kids have been like up and down sick. So just trying to get over that. And work has been like up and down as well, but I won't get into the boring stuff about that. But otherwise, otherwise everything's been great. I do have to plan a 5-year-old's birthday and a 1-year-old's birthday here in the next month. So
That
is late to do. Yeah, my son is turning 5 in about 3 weeks, and then my daughter will be 1 in about a month and a week. So
she was just a baby.
I was just pregnant, I feel like. It's just has come and gone so fast. I tell you this, I say this to everybody, even people that don't have kids. The second one just like flew by, and it's just in a blink. She's already a year, and I cannot believe it. So, but I'm just trying to soak up being a mom of two and like doing everything over with her again and remembering things I did with my son. It's just humbling having to get to see those firsts again. So it's been fun, and she's at a really fun age right now. So I'm excited.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's already the end of January.
I know. Didn't the year just start? I feel like it just started.
Yeah. Oh, and the script thing is, that might be part of my job. But with our transition, which I absolutely love, and I do work full-time too, although I don't have kids to take care of. I know. It sounds, you would think I would have more time, but I feel like sometimes like an octopus, like I'm all over here and this, I got an arm over here and I got, and again, I have a 12-year-old beagle. Sometimes like having a kid, but not, it's now, no, it's not really.
It's well, not. I mean, I can attest to that. I do have 2 dogs as well.
Oh my goodness.
I also work full time. So we can relate in that sense too.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course we could take up the whole podcast chatting about our lives.
Probably.
Yes. But I was, when you were talking earlier about Sherita's interview, I'm really looking forward to it. But before we get started, it's time for one of our favorite moments in our show, our Empowerment Minute. After that, let's hear all about this week's top stories and need-to-know news from our incredible News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt. No news is typically good news in this military life. except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Caroline and Joy. I really love working with you, and I love Army Wife Network, too. This week's top stories are sure to make your heart glow. We're getting in the Valentine spirit with a few fun facts. Did you know every year more than 36 million boxes of chocolate are sold across the U.S.? And more than 9 million people buy their pets a Valentine's Day gift. Please don't tell my dog. Teachers received the most Valentine's Day cards, and Hallmark was one of the first to mass produce a Valentine's Day card over 100 years ago. Find more fun facts at 1-800-Flowers.com. Military.com shared news of a Valentine drive by Operation Military Stockings in Longmont, Colorado. Pink, red, and purple hand-crocheted stockings were filled with snacks like Oreo cookies, candy, and beef jerky. Each stocking also included a letter, a tiny handcrafted angel, and a star repurposed from retired American flags. This year, 55 stockings were shipped to Marines serving in Afghanistan and UAE. Operation Military Stockings hopes to expand their project and send stockings for other holidays throughout the year. Read more at military.com. USA Today reported that a 104-year-old veteran had received thousands of cards for Valentine's Day. Retired U.S. Marine Major Bill White was the intended recipient. Tony Walker, a fellow resident at White's retirement home in Stockton, California, posted the request online. White served in World War II and received the Purple Heart from injuries sustained from a grenade blast in the Battle of Iwo Jima. The goal of Operation Valentine was 10,000 cards, said the story. Over 20,000 cards and 200 packages have already arrived. The cards and packages are being divided and sent to 37 other retirement communities. This shows how much love and appreciation people have for our military and for our country. And it's heartwarming to see that, said White's daughter, Mary Houston. I've been a Marine for 85 years now, 30 years active, 55 years retired, White said. So if they feel like it, they could call me back on active duty anytime. I'm still on the list. Read the full story at usatoday.com. Are you in need of a last-minute Valentine's Day gift for your love? Well, we have you covered. We've compiled a list at armywifenetwork.com filled with helpful websites from Martha Stewart to Dating Divas. Go classic and declare your love with a letter on heart-shaped paper. Using the pattern online, you can turn your heart letter into its own envelope. Maybe the way to your honey's heart is through the stomach? Try making a bacon rose bouquet, heart-shaped pancakes or eggs, or an easy chocolate soup for two. Maybe you're in need of a special treat for your kiddos. Make a love lunch or attach a punny printable to a little treat. We have your six. Here at AWN, we truly love you. We're so grateful to be a part of this great big military family. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your AWN News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thanks to Jolene for her due diligence to ensure that we are always kept up to date with the military life news. Listeners, let's take a quick commercial break, then stay tuned for our interview with Delia Introini, Program Manager with the Warrior Scholar Project. Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Greetings and welcome to another empowering installment of Army Wife Talk Radio's interview segment. As usual, I'm Sherita Knobloch, your AWN owner and commander.
For this episode, I'm excited to talk with Delia Introini, Program Manager over 18 campuses and 25 weeks of programming with the Warrior Scholar Project. As a dynamic national nonprofit, the Warrior Scholar Project empowers enlisted military veterans by providing them with a skill bridge that enables a successful transition from the battlefield to the classroom, maximizes their education opportunities by making them informed consumers of education, and increases the confidence they will need to successfully complete a rigorous four-year undergraduate program at a top-tier school. Today's guest, Warrior Scholar Project Program Manager Delia, is currently working toward her master's degree in social organizational psychology at Teachers College of Columbia University, having earned her BA in psychology from Columbia in 2017. Delia enlisted in the Marine Corps after graduating high school. She was trained as an admin assistant and served in Okinawa, Japan, with the USMC Tactical Exercise Control Group, preparing war games and other extensive international military coalition practical exercises. Perhaps the best preparation for her current role. She went on to serve in Washington, D.C. at the historic 8th and I Marine Corps Barracks, and then went with the USMC Assistant Commandant Staff at the Pentagon. Delia, however, was most honored to have served as the Marine Corps' official mascot handler for Sergeant Chesty the 12th, an English Bulldog. Not only is Delia a Warrior Scholar Project Program Manager, but she is also an alumni, as she attended the Harvard 2016 Project while a junior at Columbia University. This experience helped her realize her passion to work closely with transitioning veterans. Delia, her husband Michael, an Air Force veteran, and their five-year-old daughter Mila reside in New York City. They enjoy supporting their local soccer team and exploring all the city has to offer. What a resume. Wow. Welcome to the show, Delia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
We're super pumped to chat with you and learn more about the Warrior Scholar Project. I'm already super intrigued, as I was just kind of, you know, doing a little recon on you guys before our interview. And so I'm excited to learn about your specific role with the organization. Let's go ahead and jump into the conversation. So we just shared your bio, obviously, about your extensive military background as a Marine, now as a supporter of veterans and a spouse of a veteran. So can you tell us a little bit more about your transition out of the military and how you arrived at the Warrior Scholar Project?
Sure. My last assignment was in South Florida, and we made the move over to New York City. October 2013 is when I got out. And then quickly after that, January 2014, the spring semester, I started at Columbia as a sophomore pursuing my bachelor's in psychology, as you mentioned. And, you know, it wasn't, I honestly have to kind of summarize my transition with two words, and the ones that always come up are lost and overwhelmed, being on that ginormous college campus, just taken aback, and it's so different to what I had experienced in the last 11 years of my military career. And so it was a struggle. It was not easy. And so through trying to find my place on campus and connect with people that were of similar backgrounds like me, i.e. veterans on campus, I just heard a veteran share her story about Warrior Scholar Project and how it really, you know, propelled her academic career. And so I invited her for coffee, and we shared a coffee on campus, and she told me all about it. Her name is Laura Cabrera, and she now lives in Boston, and she's amazing. And you know, it worked out. I actually jumped right on the opportunity, did a little bit of research, and I applied, and I was fortunate enough to go, you know, before graduation. Some would say it was probably too late, but I think it was the right time because it completely made a difference. I got back to campus, and it was a different game, thanks to WSP.
That's really exciting. I can really identify with the lost and overwhelmed concept when it goes to going to college. I'm a small town girl, literally graduated with 18 people in my high school class and went straight out to a four-year university. And I remember that first week of college standing in the Varney's bookstore in Manhattan, Kansas, like, what have I done? I have no idea. And it's terrifying. I mean, it's exciting. You're like, I don't know. I don't even know how to pick out my books. And so finding those connections with Laura, and then also through the Warrior Scholar Project, that's very encouraging. So speaking of the Warrior Scholar Project, How long has the project been around, and what exactly do students do with the Warrior Scholar Project?
Of course. So we actually started back in 2012 when it was just one lonely campus. We started at Yale in 2012, and we've been, you know, strategically growing ever since. And now we are at 20 campuses this upcoming summer, and we have a different kind of program. So you could either spend 1 week at a host institution doing a humanities focused curriculum, and we also have our 2 week, first week is humanities, second week is STEM, or you could do 1 week of only STEM, or you could do a 2 week where the first week is humanities and the second week is a business and kind of initiative focused curriculum. So it all depends on what the veteran interests are and what they're willing to do. We know a lot of things like, you know, being away from perhaps taking leave to take advantage of this opportunity, or childcare, or just really trying being able to get away from the family and the regular routine, for example, work or studies for 1 week or 2 weeks. It all really depends. But there's a lot of variety.
Okay, so to back up, what does STEM mean? I feel like I should know this, but...
So STEM is science, technology, engineering, and there it is. I remembered. And so it's a STEM-focused curriculum. So for those veterans that are interested in pursuing any type of science, technology, engineering, or math degree, so... The most popular ones are computer science and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's not focused on one specific major though.
Okay. See, that was kind of my gut. I was like, I feel like those are core foundational things focused in somewhere in my brain. I was like, I think I know what STEM means, but not today. I can't. It's not there today. So thank you for explaining that part. You shared at the beginning about how you got connected with the Warrior Scholar Project, but how has it personally impacted you in your journey?
So for me, it was really more like a big reminder that I was not alone in my journey. I shared again when I got to Columbia, you know, I had just gotten out from serving after 11 years. And I guess you didn't really realize at that point in my career, I was more in a supervisory role. And so it wasn't so much hands-on work. It was more of, you know, having an oversight kind of program management and delegating and supervising. And so when I got to Columbia, it was for the first time where I realized, wow, I need to do all of this work. And not only do I need to do it, I need to do it well and by myself. You're on your own. And so I thought, right? And so being at WSP that summer at Harvard as a junior at Columbia, it really reminded me that I was not alone on the journey. And I can't tell you how important that the value of that was, because it really triggered something in me that, like, why have I been working so hard when I can really just rely on other resources, reach out for help, and that is okay. It's okay to do that. You know, coming from the military mentality, you're not to show weakness, you know, you're not to ask for help, you're just to kind of figure it out, do things on your own and show all of your strengths. But that's not sustainable and realistic, and at least I've realized in my case. And so I was able to kind of leverage all the things that I learned there. Not only, you know, new studying skills, analytical reading skills, and all the things that you need to kind of do well in an academic setting, but also the intangibles such as, you know, look around you, reach out for help, utilize your resources. And at the end, as long as I am taking care of all those things, I will be successful. So it worked for me. It's worked for many more.
I absolutely believe you. I guess I'm thinking about almost taking the battle buddy mentality from the military and putting it into an educational experience. Would that be a legit analogy?
For sure. For sure. It's exactly that, except that, you know, when you get out of the military, all of your battle buddies, as you mentioned it, are left in the military mm-hmm. for the most part. And so I felt at least that I never wanted to show that, like, getting out was the wrong decision and now I'm struggling and so I've made a mistake, right? That's where I felt like I was going towards, or at least I was holding that over my head. And, you know, being in a place like Harvard where everyone was so focused on their academic goals and, you know, being successful after the military, I realized, you know, it's okay to struggle sometimes. It's going to get hard. It's probably going to get harder now that I think back as I'm pursuing a master's now. But that's okay. And I just need to keep going. And like I said, utilize my resources, reach out for help, and get it done.
And it really embraced that concept that you're not alone. So reestablishing, creating kind of a new network or tapping into the network that's already there of real life civilian battle buddies that are going to kind of, that have already maybe paved the way that can guide you in the forward direction, especially when you're thinking about making that transition and feeling those two big words of lost and alone. That makes a lot of sense to me.
For sure.
Thinking about that concept, how do you believe that WSP can help students with their education in a more specific parameter?
So WSP really kind of supports the student veterans by empowering them in taking complete ownership of their academic and learning experience, right? We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different interests and we all learn differently, and that's the reality of it. So WSP has taken what we like to think are the foundation and the most successful kind of studying practices, and we share them, and they're able to kind of test everything out in a safe space, which is the actual programming week or weeks. And, you know, there's no grades, there's no pressure, you know, try it out, figure out what works for you individually, and then take all those lessons learned and apply them in a real setting where you will be graded, right? So I like to share a story from a participant that unfortunately I don't remember their name over this past summer. And this participant told me that, you know, they felt that the academic immersion experience that they experienced via WSP program was like a dry run in life. And I said, wow, what a concept, because who wouldn't want to get to kind of test things out for something so, you know, significant and instrumental in their life, which is, you know, what you do right after your military career. And so it really enables them to kind of test out, you know, what is analytical reading, you know, what does writing look like? What type of writing have I been doing? What type of writing should I be doing when I get to college? You know, we have every day, the Monday through Friday of the weeks that they're there, they have a writing workshop 4 hours a day, you know, with professors and qualified individuals from that institution who are guiding this process. They have seminars daily with professors from the institution where they get to discuss the readings that they did, share their ideas. Again, all of this in a safe space. So when they get to the college campus, they've already are warmed up to what the college life should be like. And they're already aware that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to raise your hand and answer questions and perhaps not have the right answer. But all of that is part of what learning is. And it's an exciting week. It's a transformative week. And I don't know, I'm hooked.
I wasn't convinced, but I can hear, I can totally hear the passion in your voice. And I'm joking. I can tell that it is truly an empowering program. And like you said, doing a dry run in a big transition like that is a game changer. It truly could be transformative, taking away a lot of those maybe intimidating feelings or feeling lost and overwhelmed to empowered and equipped. So I feel like you guys at WSP, of course, have something good to go. Good going well with you're on the right track. And with that thought, you shared just a few moments ago that you all started with one campus at Yale in 2012. And now, so almost 8 years later, you're already at 20 campuses or host institutions. Tell us about that expansion and where WSP is located now.
Yeah. So, I mean, we are a small nonprofit, and, you know, everyone that has worked so hard to get WSP to where we are now, I feel like we as a veteran community owe them so much. It is a privilege for me to be part of this kind of growth. Now we're very strategic, you know, our budget is very tight, but we're very fortunate that, you know, our donors support us, believe in us, and understand our mission. And so, yes, we started at Yale, and now we are at 20 campuses. Some of those are places like Caltech, Penn, Yale, Columbia, Princeton, Harvard, MIT, Syracuse, you know, UCI, USC, Notre Dame, and many more. It's really exciting and unbelievable to be on these college campuses and kind of, you know, live through their support and dedication to our mission. How many people truly care about our veteran community, you know? And for me, this is kind of special because not only am I, you know, a veteran myself and still a product of the program, But I really felt alone at the beginning of my kind of transition in this process. And it's beautiful to realize that, again, I'm definitely not alone. I mean, our donors, our host institutions, our stakeholders, and everybody that volunteers and supports the program, you know, speak loud for how important this mission is. And we have a lot of work to do, but it's exciting work.
Very exciting work. And loud and proud work that you guys should certainly, I would say, shout from the rooftop. And we're really excited that we can share your story with our Army Wife Network listeners, because again, you guys are on a really powerful trajectory, and to expand from one campus to 20 in like 8 years, that is very impressive. And
it is
very exciting. And I can't wait to see where you guys go in the future. But so far, Delia, I've really enjoyed digging into this empowering information regarding the Warrior Scholar Project. And I can't wait to continue the conversation in just a few moments after we get back from break. Yep. For now, listeners, if you would like to connect with the Warrior Scholar Project, find them online at facebook.com/warrior.scholar.project. Over on Instagram at warrior_scholar_project, on Twitter at WSP_vets, and on their website, www.warrior-scholar.org. Now it's time for that quick commercial break. So here's this week's resource recon, as well as how to connect with AWN beyond this particular podcast. We'll be right back with more from this week's guest and the Warrior Scholar Project.
It's voting season, but not for politics, for something even more exciting, the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year program. The nominations have officially closed as of January 31st, and voting starts today. Round one is the installation voting, which opens up from February 3rd through the 7th. These votes are collected and organized per base, district, and state. According to the Military Spouse of the Year website, the nominee with the highest popular vote at each base, district, or state will be named the respective winner and advance for consideration in the top 18 spouses. Round two of the top 18 spouses will be decided based on the results of the popular vote from round one and the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year program panel. Video interviews of these candidates will be publicized to aid in the voting process. Next is round three, which is branch voting. That happens March 3rd and 4th. Nominees who advance to the top 18 level will be eligible for their branch round voting. And finally, round four, overall Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year, March 13th and 14th. Branch winners will then advance to the final round of voting. The Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year will be selected based on the highest combined score derived from the popular vote, the Judge Advisory Panel, and the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year panel. The overall AFI MSOY will not be announced until the award ceremony in May. Make sure and watch their website for the nominees for someone you know. Oh, and shameless plug, we would encourage you to vote for two of our command team members and one of our bloggers who have been nominated. Blog editor Sarah Peachy from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, AWN owner and commander Sherita Knobloch at Fort Bliss, Texas, and Band of Blogger member Tiffany Boyce in Vicenza, Italy. Those dates for voting are quick, and you don't want to miss them. Good luck to all of the military spouses who are nominated.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, PCS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life. Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.armywifenetwork.com.
We are back, listeners, talking with Warrior Scholar Project Program Manager Delia Introini. Let's continue our chat. Delia, let's dig back in. So how is WSP different from other educational prep projects?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because there actually isn't anything else out there like us. So it's really great because we don't really have competition. there are no other programs that allow you to come on a college campus and, you know, have an immersive experience like this one. So it's a one of a kind. And it, like I said before, it's transformational. So yeah, it's just us.
Really no comparison because you guys are so unique in your mission and what you're accomplishing and how you're serving veterans in their educational journey. That is super cool. I love it. So if a veteran is interested in becoming a Warrior Scholar, what's the process like and where do they start?
Yes. So that's an exciting question because it's very relevant to right now. Our applications are still open. So veterans can, you know, go to our website, which you mentioned earlier. It's www.warrior-scholar.org. And they can click on the apply button, and applications are open until April 15th. And essentially, it's just a kind of generic application where you answer a bunch of questions about your military service, yourself as a veteran student, possible interests, and then you kind of submit a wish list of the ideal campuses that you would like to attend. We understand a lot of things go into consideration, just like timeline, availability, you know, transportation, because this is a free program for veterans. The only expense that is their responsibility is the transportation going from campus at the beginning and at the end of the program. And so once they submit their application, again, those are open until April 15th. They would just hear back from our director of outreach and admissions and his team for a campus placement and acceptance, and then more information to follow from there. But it's a simple application online. It shouldn't take very long. So everyone should go and apply.
Is it super competitive, or like how many students can you guys accommodate each? I guess, is it like a school year or do you guys do it semesterly? How does that work?
So the programs only happen during the summer. Oh. And so it is kind of limiting in that way. And it is very competitive because, as you can imagine, there are a lot of veterans transitioning out. I think in a recent article that was released about our program, the numbers were, you know, unbelievable. There is so much demand for what we have. And so it is competitive. The earlier you apply, the better, because we only kind of accept applications until all of the seats are taken. The majority of the summers, as far as I'm concerned, we have had wait lists for each of the campuses, some more than others, depending on popularity and location and all those things. So yeah, the earlier that you can apply, the better, because your chances increase of getting the campus of choice and, of course, a seat.
Do you have an approximate number of students that go through your program each year, or does it just truly vary on availability and support from donors and that kind of thing?
Yes. So as we have been growing strategically and, you know, the numbers of campuses we are at have increased, we approximately support anywhere between 250 to 270 participants each summer. And this year we are going to get closer to 300 participants.
So exciting. You guys are rocking and rolling and certainly growing over at WSP. On that same note, what guidance would you give to veterans that are interested in transitioning out of the military in general?
Yeah, so I would say if you're interested in transitioning out of the military and one of the things you're interested in pursuing is an academic career, any type of academic goal, I would say give WSP a chance. As we mentioned before, there's nothing better than kind of getting to know what that experience is going to look like, you know, feeling what you are like in a college setting. And again, I understand that college might not be for everyone, but this is no pressure. It's a safe space. You get to test things out, get a run dry on what the college experience is like, and then you can make a more informed decision, which is the most important thing, because one of the biggest things we hate to hear are stories where our veterans, you know, serve their country honorably and, you know, work so hard, decided to transition out, and then unfortunately their educational benefits go to waste because of, you know, possibly a not a good informed decision. We want them to be, you know, great consumers, informed consumers of their education as they deserve. And so we wanted to help them maximize that experience. So if you've ever thought that you can't attend a school like Yale or MIT, you know, think again, give WSP a shot, and we might show you a different side of you, because it's in there. We all have it.
If a transitioning member, like let's say they're listening right now and they're on the fence about applying or contacting WSP, what would you say to them?
I would say they can just give me a call. I'm just kidding. Definitely. But definitely reach out. I think that they would be surprised. There possibly is someone in their network, veteran, that knows about us from a personal experience. I think that the best way to find out information is from people that have actually gone through that experience. And of course, don't take my word for it. We actually have alumni ambassadors everywhere in the country that are willing to share their story. So if they would like to find out more information about a recent participant, they can reach out to us via any of the social media handles that you shared, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or our website. All of our information, like my email, is on there, and we can match them up with an alumni ambassador. Our manager of communications can make that arrangement, and they can ask questions, get on a call, and just learn more about us. But I also know that a lot of our kind of press releases are available on our social media links, and they can read more about us that way as well.
As a 501(c) nonprofit, which is what WSP is, and you mentioned that earlier, so you're primarily supported by generous donors. If someone's listening and would like to financially support you guys, or maybe even a university that would like to partner, what are the next steps? How would they do that?
Yes. So our website is pretty simple to follow and use. If they're interested in making a donation, which we would definitely appreciate the support towards our veteran community, they can go to our website, www.warriors/or-scholar.org, and they can click on the support button. And if there are any host institutions that are curious on how to support us and bring us to their campus, and click on programs and host institutions, and there's course frequently asked questions, and then there's also an application for them to fill out, and they can also send me an email, and I'm always readily available to get on a call and answer questions over email if that is helpful.
Delia, can you remind our listeners one more time where they could go to connect with you guys if they would like more information on your empowering resources that the Warrior Scholar Project has to offer?
Of course, our website is www.warrior-scholar.org, or they can follow us on Twitter at WSP_vets. We're also on Instagram. Follow us, and that is at warrior_scholar_project. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/warrior.scholar.project.
Delia, one of our questions that our listeners anticipate and we ask all of our guests focuses on our pillars here at Army Wife Network. So we stand for engage, educate, encourage, ultimately empowerment. So from your perspective as program manager for WSP, can you complete the following sentence? Empowerment is...
Empowerment is finding and listening to your voice and being proud about it.
I love that.
Empowerment for me.
I love that. I'm probably going to use that today because I need all the empowerment I can get because I'm a male spouse. And sometimes on Mondays, we just need a little extra empowerment. And so
we all do.
Yes. Solidarity, sister. Delia, I just so appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to chat with us about being a Warrior Scholar Project alumni, but also now as program manager and really advocate for our transitioning veterans. We're so grateful for that. And we here at Army Wife Network wish you guys the best of luck as you continue to equip military veterans for their educational journey as they transition.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
Army Wife Talk Radio is celebrating our 15th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 700 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcatcher of your choice, such as iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment. Thanks to Delia and Troini for sharing empowering resources with us this week. Again, if you would like to connect with Delia and the Warrior Scholar Project, check them out online via facebook.com/warriorscholarproject, Instagram at warrior.scholar.project, Twitter at WSP, so Warrior Scholar Project, _vets for veterans. And speaking of empowering resources, Joy, I would love to hear this week's AWN Info Objective.
Sure thing. This week's AWN Info Objective comes from our ever-inspiring band of bloggers. Today, we are showcasing team member Noelle Dickerman's latest piece. Noelle shares about the reality of leaning into and accepting the struggles we deal with in this military life in her blog entitled, It's Okay to Struggle. She writes, "Soldiers carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. Their burden is shared by us, the people who love them. The act of taking on this kind of stress is taxing. Our ability to live fully ourselves is more important than ever. When conversations about the deployment began, I learned very quickly of what I call the knowingness that exists between military families. Families know of the sacrifice and they know deeply the challenges of separation. The military signifies strength. It shows steadfast stamina and hard work. In order for the military to perform its duties, vulnerability of any emotion can be a risk. We can see where our culture gets the idea that military families are the strongest people in the room. But in life, we have seasons where we don't know our next step. We may have zero clue about what to do to move forward. We don't have assurance or clarity, and instead we have fear. These are real and honest things we experience, and I want to come here and say, it's okay to struggle." To read the rest of Noelle's blog or to check out all of our empowering blogs, visit www.armywifenetwork.com.
I love reading our blogs. They are so helpful when I'm looking for answers to areas where I may feel unsure in regards to this military life, or even if I just need to be reminded that I'm not the only one going through something. And this one from Noelle is something dear to my heart. As I read her blog, I really loved how she touches on the full range of issues with emotions when we struggle, and yet she gives military families permission to struggle, even though we really don't need to be okay. And, you know, it's okay to say I'm not okay. But she also reminds us to release the need to fit into the I'm the strongest in the room mentality all of the time, and to remember that we are a community of others who may need to know that it's okay to struggle. I am one of those people who is kind of bad about saying, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. It's good.
Same.
Yeah. Well, that concept is a great segue into our social media scoop for this week, because this week it's from our Army Wife Network Instagram. I love Instagram.
Me too.
And it's all about Happy Spouses Day. We asked you, our followers, to share a not so humble brag about why your spouse is awesome. So, okay, I'll start, because this automatically popped up when I saw that that's what we were going to be doing. The hubby and I went to Disney World. I know I never talk about that on here ever. And you're in my favorite state.
So. Oh, I know. Yeah, we love Disney too. Mm-hmm. Same.
Love it so much.
I love it.
We were there in October celebrating our 20th anniversary. And so I got the Hocus Pocus ears, and it was hotter than I guess normal for October. Mm-hmm. And then I have one of the cute little, you know, backpacks, Disney early backpack. And I just got hot. I was just done. And I have a lot of hair. And even though it's a headband, it still got hot. And he said, "Here, honey, I'll take all that stuff from you." And he wore my Hocus Pocus ears and carried my girly backpack for me.
Oh, it was so sweet.
Yeah, he has his moments. It was very sweet. And he didn't care. And actually, people would comment and say, hey, I like your ears.
Uh-huh. I know. My husband has done the same thing for me too at Disney with my ears if I get too loud.
So do you have a humble brag on your spouse?
I do. My husband is an Army veteran, actually. And he went back to school full time, and he was working, that was like almost a year ago, but it just became too much. But just he's able to like balance home life and school life. And I appreciate it so much because he makes time for us, even if he has to sit in front of this computer and do schoolwork. Even if we have to, you know, go out on the weekends, he is able to balance it really well. So I do appreciate that he's not like fully into this book or his book or schoolwork, and he's just like not paying attention, because, you know, think that can happen too. But I just appreciate that he, you know, makes time for us. You know, even me working full time, it sometimes gets hard, you know, with our schedules that sometimes become opposite of each other. But I just appreciate how he is a great dad to our kids and is helpful in the house, even if he has other things to do. So that's my not so humble brag for my husband.
Oh, that's so sweet. Mine was like, mine's a goofy guy.
Oh, he is like that too. He will actually take like really popular songs that are on the radio and change the lyrics to, I don't know, me or the kids, or he's like trying to make a funny, and he just like, and he like does it on the spot. Like, he's not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. He'll be like singing a song, and he will change the lyrics to be about like what I'm wearing, or that if I am hungry, like, literally anything. It's a pretty weird talent that he has. I have no idea how he does it. And then like our son every now and then will like has picked it up. So he will say things too. And I'm like, oh my goodness, the thing that you picked up from your dad.
I do that too. I make little jingles.
Yeah.
Like out of nowhere. The kids always loved it. And everybody gets a weird nickname. Like my daughter's name is Corinne, and I would call her Renner Beginner. I don't know why. Or I would make up little songs like Renner Beginner, what do you want for dinner?
You know? I understand. I do that with our dogs. the dogs' names. So our dogs' names are Sora and Roxas. And I have no idea where these nicknames came from, but Roxas is the older one, and his name became Rara Face somehow. I don't even know the steps it came to become that. And then Sora's is Borakins, and I honestly have no idea where those nicknames came from. I literally have no idea.
I love it.
Yeah.
Cuddles is our dog, and she turns I call her Puddles. Cuddles, Puddles. I don't know. She just answers to the word treat, honestly. In fact, is she looking at me right now? Yeah, she has to be my mommy. My husband says I'm the alpha dog, apparently. And he said he's just another puppy, which I took her to training. So I had a little more time on my hands before I started working full time. Uh-huh. So, you know, there's that. Yeah. Oh my goodness. This has been so fun.
I know. Yeah. Our son also has a nickname. When he was little, he was like the chunkiest kid. He was just like fat and like had rolls, and I loved it so much. And for some reason he became fat. We used to call him Fat Babies. That used to be his nickname. And then somehow it turned into Fat Bubs or Bubbas. And so now his nickname is Bubs or Bubbas. And I really have no idea where, like I don't know the steps that we took to come to that nickname. But even to this day, like people are like, why do you call him that? I'm like, it's because he was fat when he was little, but you look at him now and he's not fat. He's like, he's gotten taller and he's like thinned out a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're like, he's not fat. You're going to like mess up with his complex. I'm like, he's fine. He knows that he's not that. But people look at us like we're weird because we call him like Fat Babies or something to do with fat, even though he's not. So
I think it's cute. We and have endearing names for each other.
Very true.
Yeah. What else? What were you?
Our daughter, though, we don't really have a nickname for her.
Oh.
She's
well, you go to Disney enough times, you'll get one.
Oh, yeah. I was sad though. I was pregnant with her last year. We used to have annual passes to Disney, even though we live in Jacksonville. We would go once a month, because if we went once a month for the whole year, it paid for itself, because it costs $130 to go to Disney. But I was so sad when I was pregnant with her and it was time to renew. And I looked at my husband, I'm like, I would much love to renew these, but it's so not practical to remove these, to renew these, because we can't go to Disney with a newborn.
Yeah.
But like to get there them back again. Yeah. Oh, I know. To get them back again, it's because we used to pay them monthly because we're Florida residents. But it's like, yeah, it's an arm and a leg for the three of us.
Yeah.
Because obviously our daughter will be free, but like for me, my husband and our son, it's, oh my gosh, like $600 just to get, like get started again.
Ugh. Wow. So. Now, do you guys get the military rate that we get if we go to, if I go to ITR? Is it the same for retirees?
Well, since he didn't retire, he got chaptered out. Okay. So he's just a veteran. So I don't know. And now, I mean, before we couldn't get on base because he wasn't 100% disabled.
Sure.
Even though he's a disabled veteran, but now they, you know, changed the rules that if you have any percentage, you can get on base. We haven't tried, at all yet to see if we could go on base, because we have two bases here in Jacksonville, two naval bases here in Jacksonville.
Right.
So, but we haven't tried to physically go to ITT to check to see if we can buy tickets.
Okay.
But I know that one, I think it's what, like $200 for like 4 day, four park.
I think it was cheap. $275 okay. for 5 days, four parks.
Oh, see, it's still like, it's yeah. affordable.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. And then like, cause we also have friends that live in Orlando. That's where I met my husband, was in Orlando. So when we used to go once a month, we didn't have to pay for anything like hotel wise, cause we would just stay with our friends. So
this is probably all information you should not be giving me. I'm just kidding. Cause we're DVC members, but that's a conversation for another time. Yeah. Oh yeah.
We should talk about
that. Suckers. Not my idea, but I was like, goodness. I'm not fighting it anymore.
Oh yeah. My husband wants it. And I'm like, I'm the one fighting it. I'm like, babe, mm-hmm. you're like,
the same thing happened here. Yeah. Yeah. We got the Riviera before it was even built.
Mm-hmm. Is it the most beautiful place?
I haven't actually been to it yet, but yes, it looks like it will be.
Oh my goodness.
Especially if you're a DVC member, because the rates, and you know, there's perks if you go a lot, there really is. But if you got a friend, I don't know. Yeah. We should do it. We should just do a Disney show.
I agree.
Let's do it.
I love it so much. We have loved Disney. Actually, my husband proposed to me at Hollywood Studios on our four year dating anniversary. We had our very, very first date at Hollywood Studios in 2009 was when we first met, where we first started dating.
Wow.
And our very first like official date, he took me to Hollywood Studios. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I mean, I've been to Hollywood Studios before, but like for a boyfriend to take his girlfriend to Hollywood Studios on their first date was like amazing. So when we were celebrating our 4 year anniversary, we went back to Disney and obviously like everybody gets proposed to in Magic Kingdom. And I told him like, if you ever decide to propose to me, please do not do it in Magic Kingdom. And so he took that to heart and proposed to me at Animal Kingdom. Was our favorite park. It still is our favorite park.
I don't know which one mine is.
We haven't been since Star Wars to Hollywood Studios. We haven't yet.
I won't tell you how wonderful the Millennium Falcon ride is.
He wants to go and like buy a lightsaber and a droid. I'm like, oh my God.
No, you can do an immersion experience coming up in 2021, I think.
At their hotel.
Yeah. We'll talk about this again. We should definitely host and co-host again together. This has been so fun.
I know. I love it.
It's been great.
I'd be a little bit nervous, but no.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, it is that time again. Time to pack up our supplies, head in from the field, and hit the showers. That's cute. You can make plans to join us every Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments. If you miss it, don't worry. We also turn those into podcasts and share them on YouTube. Join us for our next full-length episode of AWTR when our AWN Command Team member, Sharita, will be interviewing Stephen Weintraub to talk about vet ticks, like tickets, not ticks that you find on your animals. Just want to say that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be another empowering show.
Before we sign off today, we would like to invite you to sponsor AWN. If you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us on our mission to empower military families, we would love to begin a conversation about partnering up. Please email empower@armywifenetwork.com.
Listeners, we are here to walk through this military life journey with you no matter what you are facing. So remember that your team here at AWN is ready to cover down for you. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your AWN command team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.